Welcome back to Crow and Fern's Guide to Weird Fiction, Folklore, Mythology, and Everything in Between, where I, Fern, talk about folklore mythology, and Crone talks about weird fiction, and sometimes we talk about everything in between, but today is folklore.
Folklore!
Folklore!
It's the lore of the folk.
That's right. But before we jump straight into today's tale, Crow has some big news. Something big, a big life change happening tomorrow. Do you want to share, Crow?
I'm getting a new cat.
His name is Othello. So it's Poe and Othello because we're fancy in this household.
But you're going to call him Poe and Otto, which I thought was cute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll be Poe and Otto. I'll probably post pictures of him on Instagram because I can't help myself, and that'll give people an excuse to check out the Instagram.
I might post my little video of Paisley that I took in the snow.
Do it, so everyone gets to see.
Well, she has a toy that she's had for like a year.
I love it. The squeaky toy. Oh my god, the squeaky
toy. It still squeaks. Most toys she can destroy the squeaker in within like an hour. This one still squeaks. And so she like will parade around the house squeaking it, and I got a little fed up and I tossed it in the backyard.
And I got a video of that.
Yeah, because I thought lost in the snow and then I'd have like a couple of days at least until the snow melts before she found it again. But no, she found it right away.
It absolutely did not.
No. Anyway, back on topic. Today's episode also has to do with an animal, sort of. Maybe half man, half animal. Ooh.
Is it a cat man?
I'm gonna tell you after the musical break. It's not a cat man, it is a monkey man. We are going to talk today about Nakaposh, the monkey man of New Delhi.
Oh.
Yeah, this is a recent one. This was in 2001 in the, I would call it spring of 2001, but it was like super hot. That is actually part of the story. Like the temperature outside, I mean, was really, really hot.
Okay. Okay. So it's like modern day folklore.
Yes.
Does that count as an urban legend?
Well, I don't know that I would call it urban legend because of the way things played out. I would call it folklore, but I would also call it some other things that we'll get into as we explain what happened. So before we do that, let me set the scene. Okay. It's early 2001. What we're talking about happened all in April and May, and India gets pretty hot.
Yes.
The temperatures were really high. Like April, I checked real quick to do like kind of what the average temperatures are, and the lows are 73, the highs are 99. That's in April. In May, where a lot of this happened, it's even hotter.
Yeah.
That is pretty hot. And to add to that, this is in the New Delhi area. The growth in that area had been so fast that at that time, India was having trouble supplying enough power to all of the people. And so they would regularly do power cuts to kind of conserve power and make sure they had enough to go around. So if you were unlucky, you would suddenly not have any electricity. And guess what is powered by electricity that people really wanted during that time?
AC.
AC. Fans, literally any sort of device that you had to keep yourself cool. And I'm sure that was miserable during the day, but one side effect of it was that it was so hot and miserable inside that people began sleeping outside. They would sleep on their roofs, they would sleep on their balconies, wherever they could to try and get a little fresh air, just maybe make it somewhat more tolerable. And I get that.
Okay.
You know, like if you live in an area that gets hot, it does just insanely hot inside. Sometimes it is actually cooler outside. At least the air is moving a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to do a double take on this because when it said they were sleeping on the roofs, I had to kind of Google this a little bit. Apparently they have a lot of flat roofs. Apparently, that's a thing that's fine and people do in areas where you just never get snow. I've never lived in an area that never gets snow, so the idea of like normal houses having flat roofs was really odd to me. But Yeah, so people were hanging out on their roofs at night, sleeping on their roofs and balconies at night to kind of keep cool. And this led to things starting to happen.
Oh, no.
The first incident was April 5th, 2001. It was in Ghaziabad, which is part of Delhi NCR, the National Capital Region, which is kind of like a big region around Delhi, the capital. The first victim was Anil Gopal. This was around 2 a.m., April 5th, 2001. And he was sleeping on his roof and he awoke suddenly to something attacking and scratching him. Half asleep, you know, he manages to flee from his attacker. Of course, like, the power is cut in the area. Nobody really has lights, so it's actually really, really dark in his neighborhood. And so he couldn't get a good look at his attacker, but he saw a monkey-like figure flee into the darkness.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of the stories actually are very similar to that, at least the early ones. April 18th, a little after 3 a.m., a man named Vinod wakes up being attacked by a creature that looked like a monkey, but it was so dark he just wasn't really sure. He wasn't confident enough to say, you know, like, if something attacks you in the dark. And can we just take a moment to appreciate how terrifying that would be, to be attacked by something in the dark and know you can't even turn on a light to figure out what the hell is happening?
Yes, I would be shitting myself.
Yes.
Fluids would be coming out of everywhere.
TMI, but yes. The next attack happened the very next night, and it was similar. There was a man in a village sleeping in a hut when he was attacked. He was so badly injured that he had to spend 21 days in recovery before he could resume work.
Okay.
And a lot of that was at home. And this is one of the things that is distinct about this case as opposed to, like, many other cryptid cases where people are like, we had an encounter, but there's no sign of this encounter. With the Monkey Man, New Delhi, there definitely were real attacks. There definitely were real injuries, some of which were very serious.
That's fucking creepy, man.
Yeah, yeah. And so you know that something is happening, whatever you believe. Mm-hmm. Like, people had to go to the doctor. People had to go to get medical attention. So it's not just all in their heads. There is something happening.
I don't like the sound of that.
Mm-hmm. 21 days is a pretty significant attack, too. Can I just point that out? Like, that's not a small thing.
Yeah, yep. That's why I like that. Goosebumps.
So a journalist went to his little village to follow up on this. And when he went, that man was not there. But as soon as he got into the village, he was swarmed by a whole bunch of people who claimed that they had seen the Monkey Man and they had their own story to tell. They wanted to describe it. He was the only one that had proof, so to speak. But his wife, Anissa, was like, I definitely saw that mofo. It was, like, huge. At this point, news of attacks are slowly becoming more common, but it's not crazy. But word has definitely started to get around.
Okay.
April 30th, there's a man named Pinto. He was attacked on his legs. I know. I was like, is that an Indian name? I didn't know that was an Indian name. But yeah, his name was Pinto. He was attacked on his legs, and he described his attacker as being masked. That was the first account that I could find of someone saying that, but it did become more common. Some people said he had sunglasses on. Some people said he was masked, but it was kind of becoming a thing. Things kind of settled down for a couple of weeks. There aren't any really news of new attacks until May 14th hits. Papers began to run the stories about the attacks, and there was a lot more coverage of this. And we know that once you start to cover something, you get more accounts of it. Now, that doesn't mean all of the accounts were fabricated. There were still many accounts that believed to be accurate and many people that had genuine wounds to show. There just began to be a lot more bullshit accounts as well, if we're being completely honest.
Okay. I mean, yeah, once people start picking up that some, like, a story is becoming popular, you start to get the bullshit cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that definitely happened. The police weren't really sure what to do with this. This is not a normal police matter, but at the same time, people were coming to them and saying, like, we're afraid we're going to get attacked by this Monkey Man. So they were trying to figure out how to handle it in a way that would be productive. I can see why it would be kind of difficult. But they started to keep a register and they started documenting every call, every attack, all of that. They named the registry Nakoposh, which means masked, because people were saying this thing is masked. And it did kind of take off. So if you're wondering, does the Monkey Man of New Delhi have a name? It's not Kapoosh. But at the same time, that's just a word that means masked. And if you try and Google that, you're going to get a lot of context where it just, that is what they're talking about, someone being masked or something like that. May 16th, people started to really say more and more varied things about what this attacker looked like, what they were like. When this woman, Radha, was insisted that the man was masked and had gleaming bulbs on his otherwise dark body. And that was a new and exciting turn of events. This one, to me, is kind of the mark of, like, well, anything goes for the description. Because I'm going to give you a list of, like, a lot of the things that I heard people say about this, or that I read people say about this and what he looked like. And you're going to see it's everything. They said everything.
Okay. Give me an example of the everything. Are you going to give us examples?
Yes, but you're going to have to wait. I do just want to point out, though, that he was in a room with a bunch of other people. They were questioned, and no one else saw this, only she saw it. So is there anything you want to confess, Radha? We're not judging. We just want to understand.
Okay. I'm judging. I'm always judging.
I know you're judging.
Speak for yourself.
I'm judging, too. I was just trying to build trust.
You were just trying to trick them into revealing their secrets, as usual.
Yeah, sure. Okay. May 17th, things are starting to feel a little out of hand here. So they offered a 50,000 rupee reward for anyone who could provide useful info. I did kind of Google what that would be worth today, and that's about $600. I think back then it was more like $1,000, so I'm not sure if the rupee gained value or the dollar lost it, but yeah, the exchange rate has changed since then.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they were offering a significant reward for anyone who could provide useful information, and because at this point it was very clear that people were afraid. And something that happened on May 18th would prove that. There were some vigilante teens kind of keeping watch in the area around their homes in their neighborhoods, looking for the Monkey Man to try and protect their neighborhood. Well, some poor guy was heading home from work late at night, and they decided he was the Monkey Man and beat the ever-living shit out of him. And people said he was lucky to have survived that. So things escalated.
Okay.
Yeah, things had escalated. And unfortunately,
teenagers and vigilantes, like, how can things not escalate?
Yeah. People were genuinely scared. This was not the only account of an attack. I read another one. There was Hindu mystic who was in the woods near a village, and he was basically just doing some rituals, and people thought for some reason that he was the Monkey Man. I know what the reason was, actually. It's because he was short, and reports of the Monkey Man is that he was about 4 feet tall. And so they're like, well, this guy is about 4 feet tall, I guess. And they basically kidnapped him and beat him up. And
I mean, honestly, I don't blame people for being scared, because, like, you said this happened in 2001, right?
Yes.
So, well, like, 22 years later, and I'm scared shitless by you just recounting the tale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So imagine living it. But, like, they just grabbed a random dude and started beating the shit out of him?
Started happening a lot, to be honest. I found three specific accounts. Another was a van driver that was heading home that beat up. Some of the reports started to just say, like, this has become a problem. People are just beating up random people late at night because they think they're the Monkey Man. And it's actually become a dangerous situation. Luckily, no one died, but they could have. Because one of the accounts says that one dude was attacked by a group of 150 people. So, yeah.
Dude. Okay. How did he survive that?
Someone was like, wait a second, this is a person, not a monkey, and calmed the crowd down. But yeah, that would be terrifying to, like, try and...
You know, that's always something that's, like, both terrified and fascinated me. It's like when people are driven by an emotion, and it's like multiple people driven by the same emotion.
Uh-huh.
And when you get a mob so that everyone's just beating this person up and they're so overtaken by, like, fear and anger that none of them can stop. It takes, like, one person to just be like,
guys, this is not a monkey.
Yeah.
To calm them down. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like a person had to calm down all those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be terrifying. Yeah. That would be absolutely terrifying. Like, to go anywhere at night, first of all, you're probably afraid of the quote-unquote real monkey man. But then you also have to be afraid of, like, angry mobs who are terrified and are not going to be rational. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely terrifying situation. There was one account, though, that I have to admit was... Okay, so one guy thought his brother was the monkey man and got scared and he bit him. So he's bitten by his own brother. But the thing that gets me about that is like, okay, so just picture that for a second. Someone sneaks up on you, like you see, you come across someone in the dark unexpectedly and you're like, wah! Chomp. Like,
chomp.
How is that your first reaction?
It's a pretty epic reaction, though.
Like, how did
it's a pretty epic reaction.
Oh.
What would you do then? What do you suggest?
I mean,
oh, mighty fern.
You either have to run away, right? If you see a path to run away, or you grab something useful and fight. Like, you have fists. I think they'd be more effective than teeth, to be honest.
Dude, no. Teeth are great because first you're like, you're biting, so that adds damage. And then you add, I don't know, like, poison damage too because of all the bacteria in your mouth.
Yeah, but do you have any idea how long it would take someone to die of like mouth bacteria? Is it
not too long under the right circumstances, but yeah, probably
not.
They probably wouldn't die right away.
Yeah, it's not gonna save you from that fight.
Yeah,
although
but still, like, if you can sneak in a chomp after you've subdued your enemy, then do that.
There you go. Professional advice from Dr. Crow.
Yes.
Bite your attackers. Honestly, it just sounds like a quick way to lose teeth, but you know, it's all good. Police reports say that they had been receiving, on an average, 25 to 30 distress calls every night, which is a lot of calls for a police department to respond to, you know, like, considering they also had normal types of calls to respond to as well. It's not like crime just stopped. So they did start going out to these calls. In some cases, they did find animals like monkeys and dogs. Part of me is like, okay, let's stop and think about this. People are saying something that looks like a monkey attacked them in the night. And then the police go out there and they find a monkey. But it's a supernatural monkey man that did this.
I don't see the problem. What's
you're
the
right,
problem?
You're right. There is no problem. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I tried to bring anything
No. No, but I generally don't understand. I have one brain cell. Just help it understand.
Okay, so if people are saying
yes,
I was attacked by a monkey, and please go out there and find a monkey, then why are we not just saying, like, people got attacked by monkeys? Why are we saying it's a supernatural monkey man? Why does it become something like that?
Because they said it was really tall, though, didn't they? They said it was really tall. So, like, how tall can a monkey be if we're not talking gorillas and orangutans?
Reports varied. Yeah, so this is the thing. Like, what people described it as was wildly inconsistent. 4 feet tall was the most common thing, but people also said it was 8 feet tall. People also said that it was the size of a house cat. And there are definitely monkeys that are the size of a house cat, some of which live in that area. So, you know what I'm saying? Like...
I get you. I get what you mean. But people believe in a slightly more magical world.
That's true. I guess I'm just a horrible skeptic.
You're a cynic.
For example, though, there was one where the victim, after they were attacked and woke up, they saw a cat fleeing. And, you know, in some cases, cats were caught after these attacks. And so naturally, the victim who thought he had been attacked by a cat was attacked by the monkey man who had turned into a cat to escape. Logic 100.
10 billion logic.
So what I'm gathering from this is that when Po, your cat, bites you, it's not Po. Mm. It's the monkey man sneaking into your house, turning into a cat that looks like Po, biting you to frame your cat, and then leaving because all animal attacks are now the monkey man.
I can't tell if I should be turned on, confused, or afraid.
Why would you be turned on?
Why is there a man taking the shape of my son to bite me. Like, how am I supposed to interpret that? My one brain cell is struggling. My son is innocent.
Wounds, verified wounds from this, because there were some that were decided to have not actually been from the quote-unquote real Monkey Man. The ones that were kind of verified to fit into this, like, Monkey Man attack pattern were typically scratches on the arms and legs. Those were very common. And as were bites. There were some bites that happened as well.
That does sound like a monkey.
It does sound suspiciously like a monkey. But wait, let's get into the description of this, okay? So stories about its capabilities grew while descriptions became increasingly varied. Some said that he could easily jump from balcony to balcony, even if it was like 20 feet, which is a big distance even for a monkey.
Okay.
Supposedly he was able to do this because he had springs on his feet. Okay, so here's some other things they said. They said that he had red eyes, that he had black fur all over his body, that he wears a helmet. It's 4 feet tall, which we said. Many said he looked more human than monkey, although there were some that definitely described a monkey. One man said he had fair complexion, blue eyes, a big nose, and might be in Nepali, which was oddly specific. There were rumors that electric currents ran through his arms and that wore a t-shirt. Wait for this. This is one of my favorite ones. It wore a t-shirt with three buttons on it, three glowing buttons. When he was in human form and he pressed the first button, it turned him into a monkey. Then when he pressed the second button, it gave him super strength. And when he pressed the third button, it made him invisible because apparently he can turn invisible.
So, okay, so we started off with a possible cryptid and then we went on to possible Monkey Man, and now it's Power Ranger Monkey Man. It's like, this story keeps evolving in ways I could never have guessed.
Oh, I know. And that's not even the end. They say that he had long, sharp nails, just as sharp as knives. And if that evokes images of Wolverine to you, you are not the only one. So Professor Xavier has entered the chat. He has a brochure for Monkey Man.
James McAvoy.
He has a brochure. Being an X-Men has perks, Monkey Man. If you're interested, give him a call.
Yes.
Yes.
You get to make it into the new movie that no one's going to go watch. I'm sorry, guys.
So how did people react when they realized that descriptions of the Monkey Man varied wildly and nothing was consistent about this at all? They recognized, of course, that the Monkey Man was a shapeshifter who was trying to fool them by taking different forms. They were not to be fooled.
Okay.
The police were getting very frustrated with this. This was taking up a lot of their time. People were genuinely scared. People were genuinely getting hurt. And so they decided to do an identikit for Monkey Man. And there are some oddly hilarious images of like a humanoid person, and they are not consistent. And then there are these cute little cartoon drawings they did of the Monkey Man that include some of the more interesting aspects of it. I'm going to post some of it to Twitter. So if you want to check out our Twitter or Instagram, I will have images of him up there when I post this.
Yes, please.
But the attacks were coming in from all over. At first, it was all in one area. Then it spread into like different areas of the Delhi area. And in the end, the attacks came in from over 65 different locations. People were so panicked that when someone believed the Monkey Man had arrived, they'd shout, "The Monkey Man is here! The Monkey Man is here!" And the whole neighborhood would panic and start fleeing. And a lot of injuries, and some of which were extremely serious, happened as people were running around in the dark. A lot of people bumped into things, and then they didn't realize they bumped into things. They thought they'd been attacked. But then when their wounds were examined, they're like, no, this is the kind of injury you get from running into something. A lot of people either fell or jumped off of their balconies or roofs. And there were a lot, they said dozens of fractures because of this.
Okay.
So the panic was real. Some people actually died because of this. One man died after he fell from the roof when his neighbor started shouting that the Monkey Man was there. That was well documented. A pregnant woman fell down a staircase after being woken suddenly by a neighbor, and, you know, she panicked and started fleeing in the dark and fell down the stairs, unfortunately. Some people think there was a third death, which was another case of a man falling off the roof. I wasn't able to find documentation about that, but there was so much written about this that I can't guarantee that didn't happen. Could have been, definitely two, could have been three fatalities caused by the panic this was causing. So whether you believed a monkey man...
Sounds like a case of mass hysteria to me.
Yeah.
Like that dancing panic.
Yeah, yeah. Mass hysteria is a term that is often brought up when talking about this. But it does drive home the fact that whether you believe something was out there or not, this was a very serious situation. People were getting injured. People had died. And it was definitely something that the police had to take very seriously. And they were. It's just not something in the police handbook. So there was no real set course of action or previous case to refer to that could help them out. So they were trying to figure it out. They were taking it seriously. They just didn't really know how to handle it at first.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like when you don't have any guidelines to fall back on, how the fuck do you manage a case?
Yeah, yeah.
That was
well, one of the things they started doing is if their monkey man was supposed to be in an area, there were a lot of rumors that he was in a place, they would make sure that that area did not get power cuts so that people had electricity. They could turn on the lights. They would sleep inside. That actually really did often help. Once power was restored to a place, accounts of the monkey man being there often dropped significantly. So things did begin winding down around May 25th. People were too afraid to sleep outside. The police started to crack down on rumors. Like we said, there were people who were genuinely afraid and who had been genuinely hurt. But there were also a bunch of bullshitters out there. There were some people who were playing hoax and pranks because they thought it was funny. There was an account of one man, who was a doctor, by the way, blowing up his surgical glove and painting it brown and dropping it down from the roof so people would see it and being like, it was the monkey man's hand. And he got arrested for
Why?
That. Because people do dumb shit. People do dumb shit.
Like, the fuck? Okay.
People were pulling hoax. You know the same thing would happen. Can you imagine
anywhere.
What the internet...
Absolutely anywhere.
Yeah. You know... Can you imagine what the internet would do if everyone was afraid of like that? Like, just think of
the monkey man,
the great clown panic. You know, there were people who were like, oh, well, that sounds hilarious. People are afraid of clowns running around in the dark. I'm going to go dress up as a clown and scare the shit out of people. And then other people were like,
you don't even have to look that far. Look at fucking true crime cases and how many hoax calls the police get when they're trying to listen in for tips.
Yeah, in fact, after this was all said and done, they did kind of a study to figure out what had actually happened, like to run numbers and figure stuff out. Most of the panic happened within 2 weeks in May. Like I said, there were some stuff that happened in April to kind of build up slowly to it. But the height of the panic lasted about 2 weeks. And in that time, police received 379 calls about the monkey man.
Monkey man.
Yeah, and 303 of them turned out to be bogus. They said only 51
to no one's
of them
surprise.
Were worth investigating. So there was a lot of that happening, and so police were like, we need to crack down on rumors and get people to stop with the hoaxes and stop with the bullshit. And so they started to arrest people for spreading rumors and for calling in false tips.
We know how well that works out.
Well, it did actually work really well.
Damn.
Because people were then afraid to call in tips unless they had proof. Because if it was a real case, like if it was a real attack, they were like, okay, fine, we'll just investigate it. But if it was something where the person, they couldn't prove that it had actually happened, that person could potentially get in trouble. So even people who had like a scary incident, but weren't walking away with some sort of proof, stopped calling in.
Okay.
People stopped spreading rumors.
I take it back.
Yeah. And rumors about the monkey man dropped significantly. There were a lot less calls, a lot less news stories about this. Died down actually fairly quickly after that. After that May 25th event, the news stopped covering it because there was less to cover. People were left to kind of question at that point, well, what had happened? Some people thought it was a hoax orchestrated by some sort of foreign power.
Okay.
Some people thought the Monkey Man had had enough of city life and went back to live in the forest.
Took him long enough.
Yeah. And some say he moved to Mumbai because the very next year, Mumbai started getting cases of Monkey Man.
I don't like this one. I don't like this cryptid.
Is it too scary for you? Are you frightened?
He's freaking me out. I'm frightened now.
Well, let's talk about what happened. Because first of all, you mentioned mass hysteria. And whenever people talk about mm-hmm. the Monkey Man of New Delhi, everyone wants to talk about mass hysteria. Because you can see how people were acting irrationally out of fear. People had become panicked and were behaving in a way that they normally wouldn't, like all of the attacks on random people who were just out late at night.
Yep.
So mass hysteria is definitely a part of this. Like I said, there were about 2 weeks where everyone was really freaked out. And part of the reason for that is during that time, the news media in the area were covering that story. It was basically their top story. There were so many publications about this that people were constantly being fed it, whether you were reading articles or listening to news or watching the television. It was constant. It was a constant stream of the Monkey Man of New Delhi, like, being thrown right at them.
So I guess you wouldn't even be able to call it, like, an urban legend because it, like, reached, I don't know, the masses if it reached the fucking media.
Right, and that's why I was hesitant to call it an urban legend. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is often cited as a case of mass hysteria. And like I said, mass hysteria definitely plays a role in this. But part of that mass hysteria was incited by the news media at the time, who were being very irresponsible in how they pursued and published things about this. One thing that was happening is there were a whole bunch of brand new news stations that had started, and they were trying to build a viewership. And as part of those efforts, they decided to sensationalize things to make them, like, seem more intense and scary than they were, so that people would start watching their channel. And people were more naive back then. When you think about it, having the internet has made people become a lot more savvy. We're all aware of trolls. We all recognize that people lie and that news media isn't always accurate. You could not do the same thing in the New Delhi of today and expect to have it have the same effect. It was a different world back then. People were, and I think this is actually true of all over the place. Like, this is not something that is unique to New Delhi, you know?
No, there's been cases of mass hysteria everywhere, mm-hmm. from like the Americas to Europe to Asia, in every continent.
Mm-hmm.
There's been reported cases of mass hysteria and people have died.
Yes, fam. Yes.
So yeah, it's definitely not like just New Delhi and just this particular case.
Right, right. What I'm saying is the world is more savvy to these kinds of things than they used to be, in that they're not going to blindly believe news media at this point. Like, everyone has heard fake news. Everyone knows that you have to be very cautious about the media you consume. And so I think if all of the news media in New Delhi conspired to try and whip up a panic again, I don't think it would be as effective. I don't think it would be as effective anywhere in the world. The world has changed. The internet has made people more aware of hoaxes and mass hysteria and, you know, groupthink. And there is an increasing awareness of it. We still have a ways to go. We definitely do. You know, to your point, we still have a ways to go. But we're heading more and more to the point people aren't just going to blindly believe what you tell them.
Okay.
I think people might try and say, like, oh, well, people were being naive at the time. It was a different time. All over the world, people were less aware of this as a thing. You know, it was just a different time.
Thing. It's like you can never, it's, you know, when they say, like, hindsight is 20/20. Like, you were not in their shoes. You didn't live, like, let's say, like you said, at that particular time, in that particular culture, it's easy for you to be all snooty and be like, oh, I would have known better. Would you have?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Would you have?
Yeah, yeah. It's easy to say it in hindsight. And you have to just imagine that every time you turn on the news, every time you pick up a newspaper, go online. It was 2001, so I guess less people had internet. But, you know, like, it was constantly being thrown at them. There is a monkey man running around in the dead of night attacking people. And journalists were going into areas that were monkey man hotspots and camping out for the entire night in hopes of capturing proof of the monkey man. Shockingly, they did not succeed with that. But people saw them out there, and people talked to them. And, you know, like, it was an exposure to actual journalists that people weren't used to seeing. And so they all wanted to be on TV. And so, you know, everyone would have a crazy story they made up to get on TV. And a lot of stories that were unverified in any way, shape, or form ended up being published to the nation. And that did not help things. Another thing that's been cited as a reason for mass hysteria taking hold about this is that when you're under a lot of stress, when physical conditions are not good, that can add to a sense of, you know, like a vulnerability to hysteria. And so you have to remember the heat was really bad. It was a very hot April and May, and people were absolutely miserable, and they had no way to cool themselves down, really. So that's going to add to it. Then you also add to that a lot of the people that were victims of this, who had, like, authentic stories to tell, were in poorer neighborhoods where educations were lower and where a lot of people were doing physical labor, which is extremely strenuous on the body. And so they were kind of in a tough state, not to mention they were often asleep when the attack started and then woke up in the middle of the attack. And so, like, you have to kind of judge what's happening when you're in that just coming out of a sleep state, which is not people's clearest frame of mind, you know? And it's kind of like Maslow's pyramid, where in order to think really clearly about things, your basic needs have to be taken care of. When you are miserably hot, working hard for your living, and, you know, like, other rough conditions that people were in at the time, you're kind of dealing with the lower end of the pyramid because you're just trying to, you know, get through. Makes it harder to think rationally about what's happening. And so really was an area where the emotional state of people was sort of ready and set for some sort of mass hysteria to strike. And it did. People were genuinely very afraid. Some people weren't. Some people saw through it. But enough people were afraid that just kind of swept through everything. And you can just imagine, like, people telling stories and freaking themselves out, like sharing a story with a neighbor, and then you're both freaked out and you're on high alert about it.
But that's the thing, though. Saw through what? Like,
Let's get into that.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so just to give a retrospective real quick before we get into what it could have possibly been. In the hysteria that followed, 70 people, 60 males and 10 females, were injured. And 90% of the injuries were simple blunt injuries, meaning they probably ran into something in the dark. Some of them were not. Like, there were definitely scratches and bites, and, you know, there were also people who had jumped and fallen off the roof. Police also correlated the calls that they were getting to areas that had power cuts. So if the power was cut to one area, they would suddenly start getting a whole bunch of calls from that area. And then they would restore the power to that area, and the calls would stop. So couple of things can be said about that. One is, when you don't have the ability to turn on the lights and see what's happening, that can be scary, you know, and you can start to read things into the darkness. But also, they started to realize and suspect that when the power was cut in their area, they would start making monkey man calls to the police, because they knew if they did that, the police would restore the power to that area. So it was an attempt by some savvy people in some cases to get the electricity turned back on for their neighborhood. Which is clever.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is one of the reasons that the police were like, if you do this, we're going to arrest you, because they knew that some of the people were just trying to get the power turned back on. So let's talk for a minute about the monkeys and what kind of monkeys are in that area and how they could have or possibly might have played a role in this. People were saying this thing was 4 feet tall. That gets out of monkey territory and into kind of ape territory, if you will. And there's only one ape in India, which is the Hulak gibbon, which only gets to about 3 feet tall. But to be honest, that doesn't bother me, because when people are attacked or scared, a lot of times they imagine the thing that's attacking them as bigger than it actually is. So to say that, you know, like, let's say if it was a gibbon attack, they see a 3-foot monkey and imagine it as a 4-foot monkey. That's not crazy. That kind of thing is just the way the human brain works. We kind of do that. We make things bigger and badder in our mind. And so the fact that it would be exaggerated by a foot is not crazy to me at all. However, gibbons do not live in that area of India. They live in the northeastern area. There have never really been any accounts of gibbons in the Delhi area, and local zoos confirmed they were not missing any sort of animal at all.
So we're back to square one.
Yeah, but there are a lot of monkeys in that area. They're mostly, probably the most common one is the rhesus macaque. There are actually a lot of different types of macaques and also some langurs. They're very common in the area. They cause all sorts of trouble. They are not nocturnal, though. They're diurnal, and they're under 2 feet tall. The gray langurs are a little bigger, but they're nowhere near 4 feet. And those are another very, very common monkey in the area. In fact, I got curious about this. I was like, is there such a thing as a nocturnal monkey? And there is. There's something called the night monkey or the owl monkey. And it is tiny, and in areas more like Panama and Argentina. So it's definitely not that, but there are some. There are some, and there are also some slow lorises that are nocturnal, which do actually live in India. There are some loris species.
How big are they?
They've been described as about squirrel size, maybe like a large squirrel.
But then that doesn't make sense given the context of,
exactly,
like, how big the monkey is.
Yeah, no, that's exactly the point. They're also less likely to attack a human, I think. I think they would probably try to avoid them more than anything. And by the way, if you haven't seen a slow loris, they're adorable. But they are not pets. They are nearly extinct because of the pet trade, and that is very sad. So
I don't understand people who, like, want to do that, though. It's like, after I got a cat and I realized how much fucking work a domesticated, technically domesticated, animal is, how the fuck will you look at a wild animal and be like, yes, that is cute, I want to bring it home? Like, it's cute to look at, but it's not gonna want to cuddle with you, fam.
Yeah, they're not great pets, and it's really not good for them, more importantly, to be held as a pet. They need to be out there in the wild where they belong. They do much, much better. They get very, very stressed out and sometimes die from stress. When they're...
The stress kills them.
Yes, yes. So let them be. Let the lorises be free and happy in the little trees. So anyway, basically the point was, there are no nocturnal monkeys in India that really seem like possible culprits. However, if you're talking about a situation where there are a lot of people who are suddenly outdoors who would have normally been indoors, it does increase the chances that they're going to run into wildlife that they wouldn't have otherwise run into. Kept thinking, like, it doesn't have to be a nocturnal monkey. What if they just startled the monkey? Like, say some guy is out there on his balcony sleeping. The monkey doesn't realize he's there, and the monkey has settled down to sleep as well. And suddenly the guy snores, the monkey gets startled awake, is terrified, attacks him because thinks it's under attack, and then runs off. Okay, so here's what we need to understand about monkeys in India. There has been massive deforestation of the forests surrounding, well, all over in India, but it's been especially rough in the Delhi area because Delhi has been growing very, very quickly. As New Delhi suggests, it's a place that is growing constantly. And so it is constantly reaching further into areas that were previously forests all the time, like it's persistent. And there's been all sorts of problems, actually, with wildlife that no longer has a good habitat left coming further into the cities because now they don't know where to look for food. Place that they used to get food is gone. The trees that used to give them fruit are gone. So now what are they going to do other than rummage through people's trash? This has been a pervasive growing problem for decades now and has resulted in increased monkey migration into the city. And Delhi has had real bad problems with this in general, of monkeys coming into the city to try and look for food. And you go into the city and you see a whole bunch of rhesus macaques. They're like the pigeons of New Delhi almost. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Now, back in 2001, where this was occurring, this was happening. It had not happened on the scale that it has happened today, but it was starting to happen. And so people were experiencing a lot of increased monkey interaction for the first time. Nowadays, people have accepted it. The monkeys are there to stay. They know they're there to stay. There's been a lot of talks about it. It's actually been a pervasive problem. People want the government to do something about it, and there's been all sorts of indecision. The government was going to try a mass sterilization thing for monkeys, because this actually has worked in the past for things like stray cats, where they'll sterilize a bunch of cats and then they're not killing or hurting the cats, but they're not going to have a whole bunch of babies. The population will slowly go down. But they realized they really didn't have the capability to pull that off, especially with the number of monkeys that were around. So now they've hired a whole bunch of new monkey catchers to try and deal with the problem.
Okay.
And this has also been compounded by the fact that in Indian culture, for a lot of people, the monkeys hold a significant religious importance. They're considered sacred, and so they want to feed them and take care of them. And it, you know, for them, it's an expression of their religion. But it was causing a lot of trouble because it was only luring the monkeys further into the city and causing more human-monkey interaction, where monkeys were no longer afraid of people and they would just come up and attack them if they thought they had food. It was such a significant problem at the time, or still to this day actually, that it is now illegal to feed a monkey in Delhi near any sort of human habitation or religious place because it has caused so many problems. So you can get like a really hefty fine there if you try and feed the monkeys now. That was as of 2022.
Okay.
And like I said, at the time, people were not as familiar with this problem. Now it's a huge problem. Everyone knows it. Everyone recognizes it. If you Google like monkey attack India or something like that, you're going to find so much stuff. Like there's videos, there's articles, there's everything. But at the time, people were less aware of this being a problem. The monkey migration into the city was not as significant as it would later become. And so people were not as aware of what it would be, what it could be. And authorities were adding to the confusion by giving misinformation. For example, zoo authorities came out several times insisting that there is no way this could be an actual monkey attack, because a monkey would never attack unprovoked. They would never do that, Crow. Never. It wasn't tall enough to match the description, which, like I said, not all of the descriptions described it as 4 foot. Some said it was just no normal monkey height. And we do often exaggerate things in our minds, not like intentionally, but in our minds see things to be bigger than they actually are when we're in a panic, especially when you're coming out of a sleep in the dark, you know? And they also said it would not flee, it would stay if it was attacking. So let me just to counteract that, those beliefs that the zoo authorities were saying at the time, let me just share with you some of the news articles, just the titles of these articles that I have found Googling to see if there was any veracity to this. These are all articles that have been written since the Monkey Man attacks. You ready?
Ready. My butt is strapped.
Monkey gang wars killing people in India. That was because the monkeys had developed gangs and were fighting each other. And people were getting caught in the crossfires. Monkeys turned terrorists in Agra, and the city has had enough. Indian village raided by a troop of 400 monkeys. Residents flee in terror. Menacing monkey moves into abandoned house, attacks children and cyclists. Kung Fu monkey wipes out pedestrian with epic flying kick. That one had a video and it was pretty great.
That's fucking hilarious.
And my favorite one, alcoholic monkey goes on rampage, attacks booze shops across city. It was stealing alcohol. It was stealing alcohol from the alcohol shops.
The monkey's just trying to cope with the situation here, man.
He really
like
is.
We all are.
So yeah, basically the zoo authorities were dead wrong. And I want to say, like, I did watch some of these attacks, and not like any serious ones, just like some poor dude is walking down the street and a group of three or four monkeys jump on him. And a lot of them, there were some where it was like, just going to knock you out with a kick and run off. So much for not fleeing after an attack. Some of them like stayed and beat him up a little and then took off. None of them just stayed indefinitely. So I have no idea what the zoo authorities were saying with that. Like, it wouldn't flee. The hell it wouldn't. Why would it just stick around forever, you know?
Like, you know, some animals, like when you corner them or when they go into full on aggression mode, they'll just keep attacking and attacking and attacking until they see you go down. Maybe that's what they meant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, once. No, it's true. In one case, the guy lied down and then the monkeys left. And I think he was okay. There are cases of monkeys full-on killing people.
So
let's not try and minimize the problem or say there is no way a monkey would attack unprovoked. We have to remember that a lot of times what an animal considers provocative is not something that we would consider provocative. For example, showing your teeth to a monkey is a sign of aggression. And let's say you don't even realize there's a monkey there and you're picking something out of your teeth. The monkey feels attacked or threatened and it attacks. Sometimes a monkey sees an area as its territory and you just unfortunate enough to walk through that area and with no clue. The monkey considers itself provoked. The human has no clue and has not done anything to intentionally provoke attack. So with the increasing shared space, you know, where there are monkeys coming into the city and sharing spaces with people at a rate that they never have before, and where we can see now that the monkeys will attack is a problem. It's not all the time, and it's, you know, like a lot of times people pass monkeys and there's no issue at all. But to say that it doesn't happen is naive and incorrect, and the fact that the zoo authorities were out there with their full chest going so hard saying there is no way this is actual monkeys attacking people was just misinformation. It was just straight up wrong.
These people, I think that goes back to the point you were making earlier, which was that due to the lack of internet and the lack of people being connected in the way that we are now, you can't just Google something like monkey attack, because I feel like, I mean, I know we're talking about 2001. It wasn't like, we're not talking about the 1800s.
Right.
But still, if you would Google monkey attack, you would see how horrendous. Don't do that, by the way. Genuinely do not, because I know what clip you're going to end up getting, and it's going to be horrifying and it'll scar you for life.
Right. There are some really bad ones. Yeah, you don't need to see that. My point in saying that was just that it is prevalent and it does happen. Not all the time. There are plenty of times where monkeys don't attack people.
They're wild animals.
Yeah, they're animals. It does happen. I think the fact that the zoo authorities were out there saying it's definitely not a monkey made things worse. Because if you think it's a monkey and someone is like, I think a monkey attacked me, and the authorities say, no, it's not a monkey, it was something else, and you believe them, your mind starts to go crazy places. Like, if it's not a monkey, then what is it? What could it be? Could it be like a monkey-human hybrid kind of thing with electric arms and giant nails and springs on its heels? Like, the imagination goes wild.
It's the form of people's cats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whereas if they just come out and said, like, okay, we're starting to see more monkeys. It probably is a monkey attack, but you don't need to panic because the attacks are, it's not common for them to attack, but it does happen. And here's what you do to avoid an attack. Here's what you do if one starts to attack you to kind of get out of the situation. And then people feel like they have something they can do about it. And it's a rational thing with a logical explanation. And they deal with it just like India is now dealing with the fact that they do get monkey attacks in a rational way. You know, the fact that people were outside, it just meant that they were encountering animals that they wouldn't have before. So I really think that this is a combination of two things. One, people getting attacked by an increase of monkeys in the area that weren't there before. You know, and this being kind of a new thing, they weren't as accustomed to it as they are now. And also, like we've talked about, the mass hysteria. The news media at the time was relentless with this. And I can verify that because I, doing research for this, found so many news articles about this and so many just old video archives. And there was a lot. There was so much that was covered about this that was in people's face all the time, and they panicked. So that basically is my feeling on what happened with the Monkey Man of New Delhi. I don't know, what are your thoughts, Crow? Are you still terrified?
Yes, because I feel like we still don't have answers as to what happened. I mean, our best guess is that it may have been a monkey attack that people blew way out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so, I don't know why it unsettles me more than any of the other cryptid cases we've talked about have, or like any of the other cryptid cases that I'm familiar with have. It's just so, like,
it's more real.
What actually happened?
Because I read as many accounts about people saw as I could, and the ones where people actually had injuries, they really describe animals attacking them. You know, like some had different kinds of monkeys. Some cases it was rats, dogs, cats. The ones where people had injuries to show, when the doctors examined them, they really were able to correlate them back to actual animal attacks. And again, this is because people are outside who normally are not outside because of the heat and the power cuts. Yeah. So there was something happening. Like I said, there were some verified cases where people were actually attacked, but it's not mysterious. It's difficult because this is a fairly large, heavily populated area, and so it wasn't the same thing for some people. In one case, it really was a cat. In one case, it was a monkey. In another case, it was a rat. And doctors were able to say this. But what happened is people were outside at night when they normally weren't. And so they were,
so the animals were in an uncomfortable position.
Yes, exactly. The animals who were normally out at night or who were sleeping and were startled awake by humans were scared and reacted negatively or things like that, you know? So it's not as mysterious as it initially sounds when you really look at all of the studies that happened in the end.
But it's still unsettling. Like, part of me still kind of understands why people would have
been scared,
had the kinds of fear that they did.
Right.
Because, I mean, like, if you would think, okay, let's say, I don't know, Catman or fucking, I don't know, Hippo Man or whatever. It's not something that really comes to mind. But monkeys, with how similar in build they are to humans, they've always unsettled me in that regard. It's like, you know, it vaguely resembles a human, but it isn't.
Kind of an uncanny valley thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, uncanny valley.
And then you add to it the fact that I have heard of, like, actual monkey attacks and how fatal they can be, or, like, just downright horrible. And you add to it, like, you add the Monkey Man to it. Like, even if, like, obviously it wasn't a cryptid, but even so, even if it was just, like, a bunch of monkey attacks, it's still terrifying to me to think that that happened. And it happens so often that people developed a sense of mass hysteria because of it.
Yeah, this one I think is more real than a lot of the other ones. 2001 is not that long ago. A lot of people alive today were around in 2001 and have experiences and memories of that time. And this is a very real thing that happened. You know, this is not just some theoretical one person spinning a story. This is something that happened to an entire huge area. I can understand why people would be afraid, especially the way that the news media was bombarding them with this thing. I do just keep going back to that time when clowns were going around scaring people across the U.S. and what a weird time that was. And that was like people being dicks. This is like more mysterious than that, you know? So I get it. I don't blame anyone for being scared. But I think for me, one of the scariest things about this story is not actually the monkeys or, you know, anything like that. It's the people. The people were the scariest part of this story. attacking people, your inability to trust your own brain when you wake up in a panic, not to like fall off a roof or run, you know, fall down a staircase or, you know, something like that. The human aspect of this, I think, is one of the more unsettling aspects here.
I do agree with that. I feel like there is, like, no matter how hysterical you are, grabbing random people off the streets and being like, it's the Monkey Man, is absolutely fucking batshit crazy. Mm-hmm. There is no excuse for that.
Right, right. I would have been far more scared of the people than I would have been of the Monkey Man, to be completely honest.
Exactly. What if you're just short and hairy, like me?
Well, like I
said, laser therapy was a thing.
Like I said, that Hindu mystic was short, and that was a large part of the reason people attacked him. He was short, so, and they were like, the Monkey Man is short.
Kings
so
rise up.
It must be the Monkey Man. Yeah, I do think it is a fascinating case study of how folklore can come to be, though. How when people are scared and don't understand what's happening to them, they fill in the gaps with stories. And I think you see very easily why some folklore creatures are a little inconsistent. I thought it was so interesting the way that they took all of these inconsistent accounts and said, well, this is a shapeshifter, because I can absolutely see that being the case with other older folklore creatures. I can see that being part of how the story of shapeshifters came to be in the first place, you know? A lot of the folklore that we study is older. It's things that we are seeing so far after the fact that it's hard to piece together the details of how they really came to be. But this is only in 2001. It was covered extensively. A lot has been written about it. And so an interesting opportunity to go back and actually look at what people were saying at the time and what people said afterwards, and to piece together how these things came to be. You can actually go onto sites like Rediff, no, not Reddit, Rediff, and see, like, history.
What is that?
It's got a whole bunch of, like, news articles and other stuff like that. And you can see, like, the progression, how people thought in the beginning of May versus the middle of May versus the end of May, and how perspectives changed and how things developed and grew out of control. And for me, that was fascinating, just reading through the news articles as the month went later and later on, and the way the difference in the way people perceived it and tried to deal with it. Like, it fascinating, fascinating stuff. If you are really into folklore and you would be interested in that, I would recommend just Googling the articles that were coming out and checking out how the story progressed. That's all I had. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No.
Okay.
Other than this story genuinely freaked me out in a way that other stories have not, and I cannot put my finger on why.
Because it's very real.
And very close. Yeah, it's very, like you said, it's very recent compared to all the other stories.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and call that a day. Where can they find us, Crow?
Okay, so if you enjoyed this episode, feel free to give us a follow. We're available on Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And if you really enjoyed this episode, feel free to give us a review, because we would love to hear what you think. We are also available on social media. That would be TikTok, Tumblr, Twitter, and Instagram. And we've also got an email if you want to tell us about the crazy happenings in your life, or you want to tell us what to talk about, review, whatever, next. But that is until the next episode. This is Crow, and
this is Fern,
signing off.
Bye!